Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Rhonda with us. So Rhonda, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Rhonda Sams, and I am from Southeast Washington, D.C., and I'm here to tell you my story.
Okay, I'm excited to have you. How would you describe survival mode?
Survival mode is just like being afraid to speak up for yourself, you know, like holding everything in, feeling like everyone around you is against you, you know, so you have to guard your heart. Mm-hmm. And this is what I have done for over 30 years. Okay. So now I'm ready to actually share my story because I don't feel like I need to hold it in anymore.
Okay, well, thank you for choosing Survival Mode Disrupted to do so. So tell us your story to and through Survival Mode.
Okay, my story starts when I was 17 years old. I was sexually assaulted by my mother's boyfriend. And me telling my mother I thought was going to help me, but in reality, it did not help me. My mother did not believe me, and she started treating me horribly. And I am her only daughter. She has three other kids, three sons. So altogether, she has four children. But I felt like no one in my family stood up for me. No one helped me. I dealt with this alone. And now that I'm 47 years old, I have now been told that I have PTSD along with depression. So this has been a hard journey for me. Because to this day, me and my mom still have no relationship. And I just feel like she needs to own up to the responsibility of being the parent because I was the child. You understand? So I feel like I should have never had to feel this way because I never was told, are you okay? Do you need anything? Or, like when the incident happened, she dismissed everything. Like she didn't want to hear nothing I had to say. She called me a liar to my face, and she basically told me that I didn't want her to have a man. I don't know what that has to do with this, but this is what she said to me. And those words stuck in my heart all these years.
I can imagine that that would. That's hurtful because, first of all, you're being vulnerable, right? You're opening up to something that had been done to you. And then to not be received, to be told you're a liar, to be dismissed, to then have blame placed on you is hard to navigate.
It was beyond hard because, like, I never talked about it with no one. Like, I kept it to myself, and I'm just tired of crying. Like, I'm tired.
So,
And
go ahead.
I just feel like this right here is the reason why today I don't have any children. I don't have any.
Dealing with the r residual impacts of the sexual assault, how did that show up in your life? How did life change for you after that?
It felt like I was on a roller coaster and I couldn't get off because every twist, every turn was worse than the first. And that what I'm saying means like every person that I came across, whether it was family or friends or even someone that I claimed to love, they all hurt me. Like it was like back to back, back to back. So I didn't know which way to turn because everybody I trusted ended up doing something to me that hurt me. And I'm already dealing with this from my mom. So who wants to keep living a life like this? This is hard.
Absolutely. So how were you able to manage the pain from all the hurt that you experienced from different people?
Honestly, I wasn't able to manage. Like everything was falling apart. Like from 17 on up, like school was hard. I was getting bad grades because my mind was so clouded with so much hurt and pain, I couldn't focus. So I never got a chance to graduate high school when I was supposed to because my mom put me out for her boyfriend. So I basically took that to my heart and said she chose him over me. And that right there killed everything inside of me. Like all the love I'm supposed to have for my mom, that right there took it because I felt so unloved. I just felt like there was nobody there for me. Nobody. Not a grandma, not a grandpa, not an uncle, an aunt, nobody. I dealt with this myself, and this to this day, it still hurts me. And I tried my best to be the bigger person and try to have a conversation with my mom, but she's a narcissist. She does not take accountability for nothing, and I'm the blame for everything. So, me being a kid, I was the blame. When you allowed this man to have a key to your apartment, knowing that you have a teenage daughter, why would you do that? And then to find out, my whole entire life, my mom told, I wonder why my dad was, because my dad was not in my life either. Me and my brothers all have different dads. So my dad wasn't in my life at all. And the reason why he wasn't, because my mom didn't want him around. So she can do this to me. So basically, I grew up with no parents. I had to raise myself. And I'm now 47 and I'm just getting a relationship with my dad. And that's the most hurting part of it all because he missed so much of my life because my mom was bitter. I don't think that's fair to me at all. Because if you didn't want me, you should have just gave me to my other parent instead of allowing me to be in your life and you really don't want me here, because that's how I feel. Like she didn't want me. And she never clarified it and said, that's not what it is. It's stuck this way. What I believe is how it's been. No relationship, no conversation, no nothing. Like she just exists and I just exist. No mother and daughter relationship. And that's hard. Because a girl needs her mom.
Absolutely. What have your relationship been with, like your friendships been like with other women? I struggled with my relationship with my mother, and I, on reflection, many, many years later, I had a zero tolerance for any other woman in my life. So I was the type of person who would cut you off in a heartbeat. Like one argument between you and I as a friend, and we're done. Like I don't have time to entertain that. On the other hand, because I also had a troubled relationship with my father, I spent a lot of time looking for my father in other men and was very tolerant of the man. I stayed around for years putting up with things that I knew that I didn't need to put up with. But the contrast to me, I had both a mother wound, both a father wound, but it manifested where I would accept man, but I wouldn't accept women. So I'm just curious, what have your friendships been like?
Really, like I have a few people ask, I count like three or four that I consider my friends, and I'm just like a guarded person. Like I don't want to be around anyone. I'm better in my space with just me. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't even go outside, and that's the part that my therapists keep telling me is wrong because I'm supposed to be able to, you know what I'm saying, interact with people and I don't want to. And I feel like that's a part of me dealing with this stuff for so long. Like, I don't trust anyone to the point where, you know, I give you my heart and you trample all on it and I'm just supposed to deal with it. I can't do that anymore. So, to avoid me getting myself hurt again, I just choose to stay away from people. And that means family, friends, everyone. Because I just had me. So, that's what I'm used to.
This type of situations do create this hyper independence, right? Because oftentimes we are chronically disappointed by the people in our lives. So we learn how to only depend on ourselves. And in that, we become very isolating because we don't want to lower our guard. Lowering our guards means vulnerability, means the possibility of getting hurt again. And for many of us, that isn't an option. So we do what we need to do to essentially protect ourselves from the world, and it can be damaging because we end up losing out on developing genuine friendships and getting to know people because that wall's up. And if someone manages to climb over the wall, because we don't lower it, they have to climb. It shows. Oftentimes, it's almost like a test. Like if you can deal with all of this, then maybe I'll let you see a little bit more, right?
And that's exactly how it's been for me because I do have a boyfriend and he's the only one that I allow because I know he's not trying to hurt me. You understand? And but me, okay, for instance, like my two books that I wrote, he does not want to read it. And I told him I understand why he doesn't want to read it because he doesn't want to see the hurt that I had to go through. And that's understandable to me. You know, I told him, long as you have my back, you don't ever have to read it. If you want to, that's okay, but I understand why you don't want to, because it discloses my pain.
How are you navigating your pain currently? You've said you've written a book, which I can imagine was very therapeutic for you to be able to release that in its fullness. But how, what else are you doing? You mentioned a therapist. What else are you doing to navigate beyond all of this?
I actually have two books. I'm going to show you. I have one. This is the book that discloses everything. This is Letters from the Fire. I mean, this is She Didn't Ask for the Fire. And the other one is Letters from the Fire. This one. They're little books, you know, they're like 30 pages, if that. But it was enough for me to disclose. My therapist actually gave me a challenge. She challenged me to write something, write it down. So I took it even further and just wrote it and published it on Amazon.
Sharing
But
your story.
I have a therapist, I have a psychiatrist. I just try my best to talk to them as much, because I know I really don't want to, but I know it's beneficial to me. Because I really need the help at this point, because I didn't let it get too far. And I'm trying to get back to being me, and right now I'm not that.
Can understand. So outside of your therapist challenging you, what made you decide to finally share your story 30 years later?
Just got tired of holding it in. And I just had to tell myself that holding it in is hurting me more than it's helping me. And once I started writing it, I felt like such a relief, because I used to have to go to the cardiologist a lot because my heart has been through so much. And I didn't like the feeling that I was getting. Like, my heart used to really skip beats. Like, I used to have to wear a heart monitor because I already knew my heart is tired. Like, this is too much for one person to deal with, and then have to continuously deal with it for over 30 years by yourself. That's hard for anybody. I don't wish this on no one. But I'm trying.
You mentioning your heart. A lot of times people don't recognize that trauma s is stored in our body. And we have respiratory issues, cardiovascular issues, gastrointestinal issues, back issues, headaches. All of this is stored trauma. And if we go years and years without dealing with it, and then we have more hurt and more trauma that is constantly compounded, eventually it causes massive damage to our bodies in some way or another. Like if you look at trauma victims, particularly those who have not dealt with their stored trauma, most of them have health issues in some way. And usually that is a sign the body is calling for attention. But we don't talk enough about that. We don't talk enough about how trauma impacts us beyond the event, right? We may talk about emotions very loosely, but you know, the body is pretty magnificent in the fact that we often compartmentalize our emotions until it builds up so much it just overflows. And based on the things that you said, like you not only went through that with your mom, you've had issues with a lot of people in your life, family members, friends, right? And eventually you just get to a point where I really don't know what to do with this stuff anymore. I can't pack it away because the boxes are full. So I celebrate the fact that you sought help, you've gone to a psychiatrist, you've gone to a therapist, and you are now working through your trauma so that you can release it. And hopefully, in due time, you see an improvement with your heart because you're releasing the trauma that's been stored for 30 years.
Yes, ma'am. This has been a heck of a ride. A very, if I told you a story from my apart from my book, you would be like, what? My brother, my blood brother, I allowed him to come and stay with me. And I knew that he was into in the streets. I knew he was. But what I didn't know was that he was going to bring it to my home, and which made me lose my apartment because I went to work. Luckily, I did go to work because while I was at work, the police were running into my apartment. And when I got home, all of my things were outside. Like people were going through my things. Like it was crazy. And on top of that, the guy I was dealing with, as I'm getting put outside, I found out he's not only dealing with me, he's dealing with like 11 other different women. I don't know how, but all of this flowing in my brain, I was like ready to kill everybody. Because these is the people who I trusted with my home. And both of you did me wrong. I couldn't get over it. Like I really couldn't. It took so much of me. And in me trying to be a normal person, I tried to go to work the next day. I had a panic attack because it was just so much damage in my brain. I couldn't focus, and I was a cook. I couldn't do nothing. Like I was stuck. So just give you an idea of how much stuff I've been dealing with. And the part that hurted me the most, he never even said he was sorry. Neither one of them.
Most people don't take accountability for their actions, which is sad, which leaves you having to pick up the pieces by yourself. Because at least if you had an apology, there's something to build from, but you're picking up without, and being able to move forward without that is sometimes the hardest thing to do. So as we wrap up this episode, what would you say to the listener who may possibly relate to your story in some way to give them some hope and inspiration?
Honestly, I would say that I think that it will be beneficial to you if you were to read my story, because I'm sure it's something inside of my story that relates to someone who's watching and listening. And the other book, Letters from the Fire, it's a lot of different letters that are soothing to the heart. I know I'm not the only one in this world that's been dealing with a lot of different things that we shouldn't have been dealing with alone. So I just feel like if you go and check my books out on Amazon, then I know that you're going to find something inside of the book that's going to hit you here. Because it's all truth, no fiction. And I'm sure, it's going to be something that you're going to pick up and say, wow, I thought I was the only one feeling this way. No, baby. I'm sure it's more of us women in this world that is dealing with these same issues. So I'm actually here to help the next person while I'm healing myself.
That's a beautiful thing to be at that place where you also want to help others. So, thank you so much for your time, Rhonda and audience. Thank you for catching another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I just want to remind you were not built to break. You damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I'll see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.